Hi there, it's Sheila Hummel bringing you New Day Dawning. Thanks all of you for joining me, and a special welcome those of you listening today in hospitals in Newcastle and Gateshead. We'll be listening to some inspirational songs and reflecting on today's Bible reading. I do hope you enjoy the programme. Let's begin with a hymn of praise, which turns our hearts away from ourselves and our needs and looks to God in worship instead. Here from Hillsong is a hymn called This Is My Desire, written by Reuben Morgan.
This is my desire, to honor you. Lord, with all my heart, I worship.
When I was a teacher, I remember that the children loved a poem called Please, Mrs. Butler by a man called Alan Alberg. Teachers, of course, don't need any reminding that there will always be some troubled child coming to report to them some kind of problem. That's what the poem's about, and I hope you enjoy it as I read it to you. And you'll see in a moment how the beginning of our gospel reading today sounds exactly like this poem. Please, Mrs. Butler, this boy, Derek Drew, keeps copying my work, miss, what shall I do? Go and sit in the hall, dear. Go and sit in the sink. Take your books on the roof, my lamb. Do whatever you think. Please, Mrs. Butler, this boy, Derek Drew, keeps taking my rubber, miss, what shall I do? Keep it in your hand, dear. Hide it up your vest. Swallow it if you like, love. Do what you think is best. Please, Mrs. Butler, this boy, Derek Drew, keeps calling me rude names, miss, what shall I do? Lock yourself in the cupboard, dear. Run away to sea. Do whatever you can, my flower, but don't ask me. Here's a hymn for troubled children everywhere, sung in a cappella, written by Helen Lemmel. Try saying that name quickly 10 times. But what a title for a song by a lady who's actually totally blind. The song's called Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus.
Poor soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant. Shall not fail you here. perfect salvation to tell. Oh, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strange.
I'm reading the Gospel in two parts today. This is the first part, and we'll see that there's great power in Jesus' name as a so-called outsider heals the sick by simply using Jesus' name. Mark 9:38-41. Teacher, said John, we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we told him to stop because he was not one of us. Do not stop him, Jesus said, for no one who does a miracle in my name can in the next moment say anything bad about me. For whoever is not against us is for us. Truly I tell you, anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name, because you belong to the Messiah, will certainly not lose their reward. Let me read the beginning of that reading again in the style of the poem we've just heard, as John, Jesus' disciple, sounds just like a Mrs. Butler's pupil here. Jesus, this man casts out demons, he's making a fuss, and we really don't know him, he's not one of us. Don't go and stop him, he's doing it for free. If he's not against us, he's not harming me. Isn't it strange, though, how territorial we can be? He's not one of us. The scribes and Pharisees thought that way about Jesus, too. We have such closed minds even today. Our way is right, theirs is wrong. Why? Because it's not our way. Our tight little circle knows best. Why? Because we do. Sometimes we think God will only speak through those who hold fast to what we ourselves believe. But from this reading we see that God uses people on the outside too, to carry out his will. So it's worth reminding ourselves that there are many thousands of ordinary people outside of our churches who are active agents of God's grace to other people. The Church of England, of which I am a member, once asked Richard Stilgo and Peter Skellen to write some songs to help us see ourselves as we can sometimes be. So they wrote this classic about a lady who's quite set in her ways, called Mrs. Beamish. Before you hear it, I ought to explain to those who aren't churchgoers that there's a part in our services where members shake hands and pass on a prayer for the peace of Christ to fill one another. Passing the peace is just what upsets Mrs. Beamish in this song. That, and the fact that a trendy vicar has just been appointed, who wants to change things. Here is Stilgo and Skellen singing Mrs. Beamish.
Mrs. Beamish stands in church, expression calm and holy, and when the organ plays she mumbles hymns extremely slowly. A pillar of St. Botolph's, for 20 years or more, she does the flowers at Easter and the brasswork on the door. But recently St. Botolph's has gained a brand new vicar. His name is Ken, he's single and he wants the hymn sung quicker. And he's introduced a custom which Mrs. Beamish hates. So she rounds upon the person next to her and clearly states, don't you dare shake hands with me or offer signs of peace. You lay a finger on me and I'll send for the police. Don't whisper, peace be with you, this is the C of E. So bend the knee, say thou and thee, and keep your hands off me. Ken tells us, love your neighbour, and Mrs. Beamish sneers. I only love my neighbours if I've known them 30 years. Even when it isn't Christmas, he lets youngsters in the church. He's altered all the music after audience research. They shout out,
hallelujah! Yeah.
They don't act like me and you. The young women don't wear hats and the young men quite often do. And they seem to like their hands enthusiastically wrung till they turn to Mrs. Beamish and they feel her acid tongue.
Don't you dare shake hands with me. I don't know where you've been. You lay a finger on me and you'll feel this tambourine. Don't whisper, peace be with you. This is the C of E.
So bend the knee, say thou and thee, and keep your hands off me. In the beginning was the word, read out loud by Thora Heard. Harry Secombe then would scream, morning is broken by a stream. Now the organ's gone for scrap, every vicar's got the c***.
Hallelujah, Mrs. Beamish, Mrs. Beamish. Hallelujah, she's squeamish, so squeamish. Don't you dare shake hands with me, or turn to me and smile. You'll wake up spitting teeth out, face downwards in the aisle. Don't whisper, peace be with you, this is the C of E. You go just one inch too far, you'll end up wearing that guitar. One false step in my direction, you'll need to believe in the resurrection. So bend the knee, say thou and thee, and keep your hands off me.
It's so good and right that we can laugh at ourselves from time to time. We can all be a little intolerant, can't we, inside and outside church, and whatever our faith. Shouldn't we be more tolerant of one another, though? One of the main lessons about tolerance is that we all have the right to our own point of view and the freedom to make our own choices, and we should respect this in one another. Unless, of course, the action leads to evil and destruction. John F. Kennedy once defined tolerance like this. Tolerance implies no lack of commitment to one's own beliefs. Rather, it condemns the oppression or persecution of others. One of the first inspirational songs I ever sang with my guitar was one by Joan Baez called Donner Donner. It's a Yiddish folk song written in 1940 about a calf on the way to market about to be slaughtered, whilst up above a swallow flies free. Some look on these words as a metaphor for what happened to the Jews in the Holocaust.
On a wagon bound for market, there's a calf with a mournful eye. High above him there's a swallow, winging swiftly through the sky. How the winds are laughing, they laugh with all their might. Laugh and laugh the whole day through, and half the summer's night. Donna, 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 donna. Donna, 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 donna. Donna, 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 donna. Donna, donna, donna. Complaining, said the farmer, who told you a calf to be? Why don't you have wings to fly with, like the swallow so proud and free? How the winds are laughing, they laugh with all their might. Laugh and laugh the whole day through, and half summer's night. Donna, 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 donna. Donna, 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 donna. Donna, donna, donna.
If you'd like to contact us online with a request, it's info@radiotyneside.co.uk. This is Radio Tyneside, hospital radio for Newcastle and Gateshead, broadcasting on Channel 1 of Hospedia, the ward entertainment system, and on 1575 AM in the hospital community and on Radio Player. That song took me back to my college days. I sang then without really understanding its meaning. A very wise Jewish man was once confronted by a challenging question by Saladin, a famous Muslim leader, who asked him, which faith do you think is true, the faith of the Jew, the Muslim, or the Christian? This is the answer the wise man gave, as told by William Barclay. A man possessed a ring set with a wonderful opal. Whoever wore the ring became so sweet and true in character that all men loved him. The ring was a charm. Always it was passed down from father to son, and always it did its work. As time went on, it came to a father who had three sons, whom he loved with an equal love. What was he to do when the time came to pass on the ring? The father got two other rings, made precisely the same, so that none could tell the difference. On his deathbed he called each of his sons in, spoke some words of love, and to each, without telling the others, gave a ring. When the three sons discovered that each had a ring, a great dispute arose to which was the true ring that could do so much for its owner. The case was taken to a wise judge. He examined the rings and then he spoke. "I cannot tell which is the magic ring," he said, "but you yourselves can prove it." "We?" asked the sons in astonishment. "Yes," said the judge, "for if the true ring gives sweetness to the character of the man who wears it, then I and all the other people in the city will know the man who possesses the true ring by the goodness of his life. So go your ways and be kind, be truthful, be brave, be just in your dealings, and he who does these things will be the owner of the true ring." William Barclay goes on to add, "The matter was to be proved by life. No man can entirely condemn beliefs which make a man good. If we remember that, we may be less intolerant. We may hate a man's beliefs, but we must never hate the man. We may wish to eliminate what he teaches, but we must never wish to eliminate him." The second part of our gospel today says this in verses 49 to 50. "Everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can you make it salty again? Have salt among yourselves and be at peace with each other." Even today we still use the phrase, the salt of the earth. We say it of someone who is solid and true, a pillar of the community. In a documentary film called Salt of the Earth, photographer Sebastião Salgado says of his observations of the world over the last 40 years that man is a ferocious animal. Our history is a history of wars. It's an endless story, a tale of madness. And to him, the most primitive tribes of the world that he photographed in the deepest jungles offered the most uplifting and hopeful portrait of all. For it's in simple loving kindness and humility that God's world can be preserved and its beauty truly appreciated. Here's For the Beauty of the Earth by the Cambridge Singers and City of London Sinfonia, conducted by Rutter himself. If our faith is troublesome and not pure, if it is aggressive and intolerant when it ought to be loving and full of peace, people will ultimately reject it, rather like salt that is thrown away when it loses its flavour or diluted. So let us cast away the dark areas of our lives, amputate them rather like a diseased limb in order to save the rest of the body. This is what Jesus has just been suggesting, using the technique of exaggeration to get his point over. If we have allowed sin to rule our lives, we have also become contaminated salt and have lost our saltiness. We need to confess our sinful ways and pray that God will restore us. We need to bring everything to him, especially those things that weigh heavily on our hearts. This next song is all about bringing our burdens to the cross where Jesus died. It's from Matt Redman's latest album, Unbroken Praise, and it's based on a very old hymn. It's called No Longer I.
At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my soul rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now no longer I, but Christ in me. I will run to the cross where you opened up my eyes. I will sing of the love that saved me. I will bow in the place where your death became my life. I will run to the cross. Oh, how endless the hope. Oh, how empty the grave. And the joy of a stone rolled away. It is there by grace I am raised to life. Now no longer I, but Christ in me. I will run to the cross where you opened up my eyes. I will sing of the love that saved me. I will bow in the place where your death became my life. I will run to the cross. Yes, I will run to the cross. To the cross. It is no longer I, it is Christ who lives in me. Christ who lives in me. Christ who lives in me. It is no longer I. It is no longer I, it is Christ who lives in me. Christ who lives in me. Christ who lives in me. It is no longer I, it is Christ who lives in me. Christ who lives in me. Christ who lives in me. At the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my soul rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now no longer I, but Christ in me.
To a Christian, it's all about Jesus and not us. It's all about who I am in him. Salt has wonderful properties. Its value in ancient times could not be underestimated. It was pure. It gave flavour to food. It was considered divine, even magical. It was a wage, a reward, a treasure as valuable as gold in its time. It was a preservative preventing decay. We believe Jesus is all these things, and he invites us all to have this kind of salt among ourselves and to be at peace with each other. This is Sheila Hamill. Thank you for allowing me to share my thoughts with you today, but stay tuned for Martin Green, who's next with his breakfast show, and for the rest of Radio Tyneside today if you're in need of a bit of company. My thanks to Andrew Ridgwick for his technical expertise in bringing you this programme, and I do hope you'll join us next week. May the peace of the Lord be always with you. I'd like to leave you with the Cambridge Singers singing another of Rutter's compositions, To the Gaelic Blessing. Bye for now. Thank you.